I've got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy strikers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of that podcast, senior striker for last week tonight, author of How to Fight Presidents, and new type of guy alert, dentist fan guy, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, how you doing?
Oh man, wait. Hey, okay, so I'm good, I'm great, but it does remind me that I canceled a dentist appointment recently because I had fucking Lyme's disease,
right?
And now I need to reschedule my dentist.
We want to give a quick thank you to Factor for sponsoring this podcast. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to factormeals.com/qq50 and use code qq50 to get 50% off.
tell me why you're liking the dentist, Dan.
I got a brand new dentist yesterday because we famously, you and I shared a dentist when yeah. I lived in Los Angeles, and we both thought she was kind and capable, but a bit of an aggressive saleswoman. I think we would agree.
Yes.
Then I bounced around after LA was in New York and had a dentist there, and then COVID happened. So wasn't going to the dentist. So it's and then I've moved two different times in Jersey since then. So it's been a minute since I've been to a dentist, and I've been like dragging my feet on it. And I finally went to my new dentist yesterday. And I don't know, maybe I've always had bad dentists, or maybe there's something in me that's changed. But it was like the x-rays, the cleaning, the everything was just a totally meditative experience for me.
What?
Like, first of all, my hygienist, we just have phenomenal chemistry. There's no way around it. We got along really well. We made each other laugh. She was more hands-on and gentle than any hygienist I've ever had in my life, and not in a sexual way, but in a very like maternal way. She would like put her hand on my chest, and she could see if I winced when she missed with her fucking the dentist hooks that haven't been updated in 200 years. When she would like nick my cheek or my gum and I would wince, she put like a hand on the side of my face and she was like, "I know, sweetie, I'm sorry, you're doing great." And I'm like, "Thanks, I'm 37 but that still feels very reassuring and nice." And so she was very pleasant, and I'm like completely reclined on my back while she's doing whatever it is that hygienists do to your teeth. And she kept checking in and she was like, you doing okay. And I was just like, I'm doing so great right now. I'm disassociating. I'm staring at the ceiling. I'm totally calm. They checked my resting heart rate before they started. And of course, it was perfect like it always is.
Why?
And I just maintained it the whole time. Why did they check it?
Yeah, why? They checked your fucking blood pressure
before yeah. you...
Okay, go on.
Yeah, that was new for me too. But like, I'll take any opportunity to show off how great my resting heart rate is.
No, I get it. I get it. If they would have been like, "Hey, Soren, we need you to do 12 pull-ups before yeah. this," I'd be like, "Perfect. That sounds great. That sounds absolutely right and good."
But I don't know what it was about this experience that I was just like, this is nice. This is like going to a mouth spa. I'm very relaxed.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I'm just reeling because this has never been my experience at a dentist in my entire life. I have a lot of questions about this.
Sure.
How old is she?
The other funny thing about this dental experience is, well, two quick things about this. This is the first time the hygienist did everything. She took all the pictures, did all the x-rays, did the cleaning, told me about a filling of mine from when I was a kid that probably needs to be replaced. And and did like 100% of the dentist stuff. And then the dentist came in for like 2 minutes, introduced himself, and then just repeated things the hygienist had already done. And then he left. That's never happened before. The dentist has always been more involved in my experience, except this time he didn't do shit. She did everything. And the other weird thing, funny-ish thing, is both the hygienist and dentist asked me what I did. And I was like, well, nothing right now. I'm a writer. I work for a comedy political TV show. But we're on strike right now. And we talked about the strike for a while. And when they heard it was a political comedy show, the dentist and hygienist were both like, all right, have a good weekend. But hey, if you get back to work, don't write about us. Don't you write about us. I wanted to be like, yeah, don't fucking worry about that.
Nobody cares about you.
Of course.
But I am going to talk about you at length on my podcast.
Yeah, 1,000%.
How old was this woman?
50s.
Would you say that she was attractive?
Not unattractive.
Okay. Here are the reasons I'm asking. Is that occasionally you're, and this is no fault of your own, Daniel. This is like biological imperative. You are swayed by women who remind you that they're women. Like you are, whether you're attracted or not, it's just like, you're like, you really like women who are like, at every turn is like reminding you, like with whatever they say, hey, also I'm a woman. I'm a woman. There was a cleaning lady at our old business, at our old company where we used to work.
Esmeralda.
Who was probably about that age. And you were like, so you would swoon for Esmeralda. And it was because Esmeralda would, oh, the clothing that she would wear would remind you, hey, I'm a woman.
Okay. I would say this hygienist was dressed in medical scrubs and a face mask. I don't know if that.
But she was touching you a lot, and like giving you a lot, calling you sweetie a lot. I don't. I'm not saying that that's like, that seems actually very nice. Like that seems wonderful. But I was, that's why I'm checking in. I'm just giving you like some context for why I'm asking these questions. Now, I've been to I've gotten my hair cut before where after I got my hair washed and everything, she sat me down in this chair and I was also completely reclined, which is a very vulnerable position to be in. And when someone takes care of you in that vulnerable position, you sort of fall in love with them. She did this, like she would do this ear massage. She would like touch my ears.
Oh yeah. You
bit.
Told me about that.
After she dried my hair, she would touch my ears for a little bit. And I was just like, well, we're in love, right?
Yeah.
This is just, it's just you and me now, right? And so there's something about like when you are in such a vulnerable spot physically and somebody embraces that and takes care of you and like understands that it's vulnerable for you, like you're sitting there with your mouth open. She's got these big sharp tools and she's like, I know, I get it. It's not fun. It's not an easy situation. And I just want you to know that I'm here for you. And just like a little caress to the face, I might break into tears.
Yeah. It's nice. It's pleasant. And I'm trying to think about the feminine energy that you're talking about, because the interesting thing in this case is that there was a bit of the opposite. Cause like I have a chip in my tooth from when I was a kid, and she was asking me about that and then telling me how she chipped her own tooth when she was a kid. And I was like, oh, how did you do that? And she was like, well, I grew up with three brothers. I was the only girl. It was just brothers. So there was just a lot of roughhousing and I learned a lot from them. I could drive stick shift. I could drive a motorcycle. I got hit in the face. I fell down. I got stitches on my chin from falling flat on my face and eating shit on something. Like she was not that, violence or hurting yourself or roughhousing is strictly the purview of men, but for the purposes of this conversation, especially draped in the context that she is using, she was driving home the point that she is one of the guys, essentially.
Yeah. This sounds great, by the way.
It was awesome.
But your experience of having the dental hygienist do the majority of the stuff, I don't think that that's a regular now. I think that's pretty common. No, it's been my experience mostly that, and with my children when I bring them, that the dental hygienist does all the heavy lifting. And then the dentist comes in at the end and just like oversees the work. And it's like, yeah, okay, this is pretty good. Oh, we're going to do a little extra cleaning right here. That kind of thing. But like, for the most part, they're doing all the x-rays and everything.
That's a shift that happened in our lifetime, right?
It does seem like it. Yeah. I mean, I can vividly remember. I know exactly who my dentist was when I was growing up. And I honestly don't even remember a dental hygienist. I just remember going to see a dentist. You sat down. The dentist was right there, did all the shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's different. Oh, I had a very surreal experience where occasionally I will, while I'm driving, if I don't want to just deal with my children for a little while or I have to keep Gilly awake, I will give them my phone and they can watch YouTube Kids. And I hear them watching YouTube Kids. Are you familiar with Blippi, Dan?
No.
Okay, Blippi is a YouTube sensation for children. He's a guy who wears a blue shirt and an orange overalls and an orange cap, I think. Or maybe just orange glasses. But he also has like this like golfer's cap type of thing. He's very silly looking. The voice that he chooses to use is rough. It's very grating. It's like a, ha ha! I'm going to go see the miniature golf course.
Yeah, stop that.
And it's like he's doing like a really bad Mickey Mouse impression. Mm-hmm. The stuff that he does is just like there's no creativity to it at all. It's rough. But he's a YouTube sensation. He's a very big deal. If you saw pictures of him, you'd be like, oh, maybe I do recognize that guy.
Yeah, anyway, I mean, he's big enough that the name Blippi has like penetrated my pop cultural consciousness, even if I don't know what he looks like or sounds like.
Yes. Now, my kids were watching him, and I hear him saying, I'm going to go to the doctor today, or the dentist today. And he goes to the dentist, and I hear my kid's dentist on there. And I'm like, what? Give me that phone. Like, I pull over. And he had gone to visit the same dentist that my children go to. And I was like, well, this is crazy. My dentist is famous.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Pretty cool. I don't know why I know that I went to dentists as a kid, but just hearing you talk about your kids going to the dentist now, that seems impossible. I hear that and I think, oh, we shouldn't make kids go to the dentist. The dentist is horrible for everyone. We should just let kids be kids. Their teeth are going to fall out. And then when they're like 12, just be like, all right, you should here. It's time. Kennedy was shot. The towers fell. You're going to the dentist. This is you've reached that stage of life now. Because it just seems like you must be. Are you pinning the kids down like haircuts or?
Great
question. How do you get them to do it?
Great question. You hear kids screaming in those offices, going absolutely apeshit. And young kids, because you're supposed to bring them in at 2 years old. As soon as they start getting teeth, you're supposed to bring them in. And kids are going, they're maniacs in there. But, you know, my kids are great.
Sure.
My kids, and you're also supposed to start brushing their teeth as soon as they get them. And so we got them really familiar with the idea of somebody having somebody else with like a brush and some stuff doing shit inside their mouth and like how they have to keep their mouth open. And then with my son, because he's a big rule follower, he's like every dentist's dream. He would go and like they knew him. They would be so excited when they saw him because he was just like, he'd sit there. They have a television in there for them that they prop up over their heads. And he just sits there and watches TV and does exactly what they say. He keeps his mouth open when they ask. He's like, they're like, suck on this sucker thing. he does all the good stuff. And they're like, we've never had a kid like this. It's incredible. And I was like, yes, he's different. And then when we brought his sister, she's not like that, but she did get to watch him do it first before she went. And so she was very good. She saw how it was like supposed to go and she was used to having implements in her mouth. And so she was pretty good. But she does get bored. And so like she's having it done. Then she's like, I'm done. We're like, no, there's some more that needs to be, there's some more that needs to happen. You still have 8 more of these fucking teeth on the bottom that they have to deal with. But both of my children it's good that they're good at the dentist because they both are going to need orthodontics. Badly. They both of them have very small mouths and it's clear my son's teeth are coming in and there's just the real estate doesn't exist.
Right.
Like his mouth's going to be a mess.
Sure. That's unfortunate. I had a nice little humbling moment when the hygienist was asking me about my history of teeth. She was like, "Did you have braces as a kid?" And I was like, "No, I had a palate expander. And I never had braces, but a few years ago, I did Invisalign, but I wasn't happy. It didn't do what I wanted it to do. So I wasn't happy with the results. And she cut herself off mid-sentence. She said, "What was the result? Was it that gap in your front teeth?" I'm like, yeah. Don't point at it. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, that was the thing about our old dentist and who also gave you your Invisalign, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was just like she was a real salesman and it sucked. Yeah. It made me not trust dentists. And then I read these articles about like how dentists famously start giving people a bunch of mouth shit that they don't need.
Right.
And taking over somebody other doctor will take over that practice and be like, "Oh, you've got like 6 crowns and you didn't need any of them."
Yeah.
And this doctor was just making money off of you. And I started to think, oh, that might be our dentist.
Yeah.
That might be what we've been dealing with.
And like certainly I don't have the straightest teeth in the world. But once I learned that she also pushed hard for you to get Invisalign, and like, we loved our dentist, so we recommended a bunch of our other friends to go to this dentist, and she was pushing Invisalign on all of, like, Alex Schmidt, who has like perfect teeth.
Yeah.
She was just like very clearly in the pocket of big Invisalign and just wanted to push that on everyone. I was like, oh, I thought you were like doing what was in my best interest, but no, you're getting clearly some kind of kickback on this.
Are you a good flosser?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you went, she's like looking at your teeth. She's like, you're not having that horrible moment where you can tell that both of you are thinking you're not flossing enough.
Yeah, certainly. Like when our old dentist in LA, when I first started going there, it had been like truly 5 or 6 years since I'd been to a dentist, because when I went to college, my parents were like, "You're in college now, so you decide when you go to the dentist." And I'm like, "Great."
Never.
I decide when I go to the dentist and church. All right, I'll see you guys later. This is a great new chapter for me. So it had been a while, and I knew, like, even if you brush every day multiple times, if you don't go to the dentist in 5 years, it's bad. You're going to need some cleanup. And the comfort that I have lying to the hygienist when they're like, "How often do you floss?" I'm like, "Every day, sir." And he's looking at my mouth and he knows and I know, but just like, what are you going to call me a liar? I fucking dare you.
Yeah. The minute my gums start bleeding, I can see them kind of like tisking and shaking their head. I'm like,
yeah,
all right, you got me. I don't do it.
Man, that never happens when I floss every 2 hours? What's a normal thing?
Yeah, you're just doing it real hard. Doing it weird. I take it easy on those gums of mine. Speaking of gums, do you deal with gum recession at all, Daniel?
No.
Fuck, you got a perfect mouth, dog.
Oh, thanks, bro.
Yeah, you're doing great. That's like you have like these underpinning worries that just sort of carry you throughout every single day of your life. And one of mine is that every single time that I go to a dentist, they're like, "Your gum recession is really, really bad." Part of that's been having braces. Do you know what gum recession is?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I feel like I could put it together with context clues. I know what both of those words mean.
A post in the ground, and you're shaking that post over and over again, and you're just like loosening it, and like the ground is moving away from the post. That's basically what's happening to your teeth when you have gum recession, is that you've been grinding your teeth, and when you grind your teeth, it moves, like it dissolves the gum around it. So you're like, you have like a bunch of more of your tooth is exposed.
Okay.
If you like open your mouth all the way up. So every single time I go, they're like, "Your gum recession is really bad. Do you use Bite Guard?" I'm like, "Yeah, I use it. I think I'm done with the recession. I don't think it's getting worse." But they're like, "Still, we'd like to do the surgery."
Oh.
And the surgery of how do you fix gum recession is that, you know, the wrinkly skin at this roof of your mouth?
Yeah.
You have a lot of it. That's why it's wrinkly.
Yeah.
So what they do is they go in there and they take some of that skin and then they graft it over your teeth in the areas where you have gum recession. So it's extremely painful. Like my dad did it when I was a little kid, and it was like the most helpless I've ever seen him. First of all, the whole roof of your mouth, that's all in a lot of pain and stitched up. Then every single one of your gums over your teeth where you had the recession, that's also like it's been through something catastrophic. It's got like stitches in it and stuff. And so you can't eat, you can't drink, you can't talk, you can't do anything. And good you're just Lord. In like pain for like a week.
So that's awful. And it doesn't, I mean, I don't know how anything works, but it doesn't feel like the top, the roof of your mouth, that Krang skin, that's not gum material. That's a whole different thing, isn't it?
It does seem like it. Yeah. I mean, I never understand this shit because people, when they get like bad burns and stuff, they'll take skin from your butt cheeks and put it over that area. And I'm like, well, but then I got like butt arm.
Right.
Right. Like that's not supposed to go there.
No.
But I don't know. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. I'm not a dentist. Yeah. My dad also did say that after he had that done, that the roof of his mouth was very smooth and that took a long time to get used to.
Yeah, I would. I'd be playing with that with my tongue for a very long time.
Yeah, I think I would too. I'd be like, get in there, get a feel of this. Yeah. Put your tongue in there. Check that out. It's amazing.
You know, if I found a magic lamp, my very first wish would be, Genie, take meal prep out of my hands. I am sick of it. It's hard trying to jam another decision into a day that's already chock full of them. And I could just, what I want is just like a convenient, wholesome meal option that varies every single time I want to eat. That's it. Well, I can find that. Thankfully, there's Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. It can help you fuel up fast with chef-prepared, dietitian-approved, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. You save time, you eat well, you stay on track with your healthy lifestyle. Oh, that's the dream. I feel like I could finally be happy if somebody else was just in charge of what I was putting into my stomach. And this August, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered to your door, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. No prep, no mess. You just throw it in the microwave, it heats up, and it's delicious. Trust me, I've tried it. They're amazing. Head to factormeals.com/QQ50 and use code QQ50 to get 50% off. Look, we're all trying to be healthy. We're all thinking of ways to do that, but it's just so convenient all the time to not do that. Well, Factor's trying to make it convenient for you to stay on track. You can refresh your healthy habits without missing a beat. Choose from 34 or more weekly flavor-packed, dietitian-approved meals ready to eat in 2 minutes. Best of all, with Factor, you can rest assured that you're making a sustainable choice. They offset 100% of their delivery emissions, source 100% renewable electricity for their production sites and offices, and feature sustainably sourced seafood in their meals. Head to factormeals.com/QQ50 and use code QQ50 to get 50% off. That's QQ50 at factormeals.com/QQ50 to get 50% off.
We should get into the show. Do you have any strike updates?
Yes, I have a huge one.
Oh. It's over?
It's not over. Not that big. You know, I've been at American Dad for 6-7 years now. I don't even know. Six, yeah. I think. Yeah, no, I famously have never met Seth MacFarlane.
Uh-huh.
I met Seth MacFarlane on the lines.
Mm.
Yeah. I met my boss, Dan.
That's really cool.
It was so exciting. There was a Family Guy strike day. I went to it because I have a couple of friends at Family Guy. And Jennifer Tilly was there, Jay Farrow was there, and Seth was there.
Wow.
And so I was like, everybody asked. I mean, that's the question I always get when I talk about my job. They're like, and what's Seth like? Or have you met Seth? And it's always so demoralizing that my answer is no.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm just going to go say hello. And so he had like this down moment where he wasn't surrounded by people. And I said, hey, Seth, my name is Soren. I just wanted to say hello. I'm a writer at American Dad. And he goes, oh, yeah, people seem to love your show.
What?
Yeah, I know. It was fucking bewildering. And that was the end of our conversation. He was whisked away immediately. And
do you think that was a joke?
I don't know. I think about it now a lot. And I tell a lot of people because I'm like, you got to help me. I need to know if this was real or if this was like, if he, yeah. Because he didn't say, He didn't say anything that would like make me assume that this show belonged to both of us, or that it was his fucking show, that his name is at the beginning right. of every single episode, or that he's in every single
that
episode.
That he's most of the people in the show.
Yeah, people don't love American Dad. People love Seth MacFarlane. Like, that's yeah. like a crazy thing to say, which maybe that leads me to believe that it was a joke. The way that he said it did not feel like a joke. It just felt like casual conversation, and also felt like, here's the other way I took it was, I don't get it, but people seem to like it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's probably more accurate. Was yeah. he was like, oh yeah, that one. It's not really my cup of tea, but people seem to really enjoy it.
Man, that is so confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think
a crazier thing to me?
Do you think now my hat's in my hand and I'm like kicking up dirt. I'm twisting my little toes into the floor, being humble as pie. Do you think when he says people seem to love your show, he's talking about this one?
He could have been. Oh man, Seth MacFarlane was listening to these.
No, I mean, like, he's not listening to it. He just
hears about it.
Yeah, there's so many steps that would need to happen of someone coming to his office one day and being like, hey, just keeping you up on news. One of your writers at American Dad, Soren Bowie, he's got this podcast. It's really lighting up the airwaves. If you ever run into him, here's some
Northern Europe seem to love it. It's doing very well in Sweden.
Speaking of our listeners, a very quick aside, because we're putting the show... this show, Quick Question, is on YouTube. Sometimes a video, like, you could see our faces. It's a video episode. But we also just put the audio up on YouTube as well. And you can find it at QQ Podcast on YouTube. I checked the comments because now that we're on YouTube and I can see comments again, I'm remembering that I'm a pathetic little worm who needs to see what people say about us. And I wanted to call out some comments from a couple episodes back that made me laugh. And if you didn't hear the episode, these comments will sound insane to you. But Raymond_Memo wrote, maybe I haven't been as sick as Soren, but my penis and testicles are the same when I'm healthy or sick. And then Towley 710 responded to that person, I mean, I'm only halfway through the episode, but I hope there is no mention of this in the episode, but in fact, something you felt you needed to reassure the internet about. And I just think that's funny. We got some funny listeners.
I'll say that after that episode, I got a lot of people on Twitter who came to me and like in my DMs and stuff to be like, I get it. I have this exact same thing. Everything is the same way. Also, when I'm hungover, when I've done a lot of drugs the next day, it's the same thing. I have a very polite penis. I was like, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for letting me know. I do care.
Great. Let's move away from penises for a little while.
Oh.
Oh yeah. My strike update.
Please.
It's barely an update. When I was out of town, my brother and sister-in-law and niece and nephew were staying in my beach home. And when I got back, they had collected a bunch of small seashells for me as a little like thank you gift. It was very cute. Kids collecting seashells. It's adorable. And I held on to them for the longest time. And then I saw some, crafts you could do with seashells on Pinterest. And so I did one. I had all these seashells and I bought a piece of like canvas and I hot glued them into just like a simple rectangle shape of all these seashells together. And I put it in a frame. It's like a perfect beach decoration. And I'm very proud of the way it came out. And I took a picture of it and I sent it to my brother and sister-in-law. And I was like, hey, tell your kids that Uncle found a home for the seashells they collected. And now it's art for the walls. And my brother was like, wow, you look like someone who doesn't have a job right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now that I've fully entered my crafting phase of the strike.
You're a retired guy.
Yeah.
Living in a beach town with a bunch of other old people.
That's right.
Where you have your routine set in stone and then occasionally you make stuff out of seashells.
Yep.
All right, I guess we should do the show.
Yeah, we'll get into the show. This is we've had some Soren dominated episodes for a while, and I'm gonna let you hang back while I just talk about a thing that happened to me, which is a version of this show that we do. So a few weeks ago, I was in LA, famously. You were there. You remember. And we went to, Shay and I hiked Griffith Observatory. This is, for anyone who doesn't know, it's an easy hike in Los Angeles that ends on the top of a hill mountain that has a massive telescope and a bunch of other artifacts. It's super fun, and it's a free museum thing that is cool if you like stars and care about space, which I guess I don't, but I can make an exception for hiking. And so the first part of it is we get to the top of this thing, and we're just hanging out. There's like a very open outdoor space around the museum and telescope. It's like a courtyard in front of a building, an open field to take
in a lot of
views. You've
seen it in a lot of movies. Yeah. It's been in like a shitload of movies.
Sure. And what I'm trying to stress about the courtyard is that it's not narrow. I'm not blocking anyone's path. I'm also not blocking anyone from seeing an important thing. I'm not standing in front of art or anything. Everyone is milling about in a courtyard, and there's plenty of room for everyone. And a woman, which I'm going to put her in her late 40s, who's like well put together, designer hiking clothes, beelines straight for me, gets in my face, and does the kind of dance you would do if someone was blocking you from something, where it's like, are you going to move? Am I going to move? That whole dance. And then she sort of sneers, like I did the wrong thing, and sidesteps and walks away from me. Like deliberately moves, like makes a big show out of, I got to walk away from this person. And immediately, internally, even though I don't know what I did, I'm like, ah, oh, sorry, you're right. I shouldn't have been here, I guess. And I should have been 4 feet in either direction, or I should have stayed home. I don't know. And my friend Shay walks up and she says, I want to fucking hit that woman. Like she saw it from a distance and recognized that the woman was being weird and wrong, which is, it's very validating to me for another person to agree that an event didn't take place in my head and actually happened and was strange. But anyway, that's part one of this little play. We continued exploring the museum for like easily an hour. There's a whole lot to see at Griffith Observatory. I learned, among many things, Soren, that it was named for a person whose name was Griffith J. Griffith.
No.
That sucks, right?
No, come on.
That's insane.
That's not a name.
I feel like we make fun of a lot of parents for naming their kids after Game of Thrones and stuff, but Griffith J. Griffith is like divorced of context, dumb fuck.
I really hope that the J in the middle is also for Griffith.
Somehow Griffith, yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to my buddy Nate about this, because once you learn that someone is named Griffith J. Griffith, you tell everyone. And Nate was like, yeah, that's stupid, but Griff Griffith is pretty tight. And like, yes, damn it, it is. Griff Griffith. Mm-hmm. I hope he knew that he could go by that.
He was going by Griff. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, we're at Griffith Observatory. And then after our hour of exploring, we headed down the hike. And the woman from Act One showed up. She came from like around a corner on this hike. The woman also must have been hanging out for an hour and went straight for us. And she said, let me ask you something.
Oh,
what do you think about the Holocaust and human experimentation? And I, thinking quickly, said, against it. I think it was a bad idea. It shouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened on my watch.
Good answer.
And she agreed. And then she was like, so what do you do with these people who are still doing it today?
Oh, no.
Now, I know what I did, but I wanted to, like, what are you doing in this situation? I'm going to ask you like several times in this whole story, do with this move.
First of all, I'm not stopping walking. I'm continuing to walk as I'm giving whatever answer. And I'm going to be like, I wasn't aware that it was happening anymore, but I also don't like that. And then I would have kept walking.
I stopped as soon as she started talking to us, first of all. So already I'm doing the wrong thing. But my move here, like I've been around the earth a few times that when someone says something crazy, I like to give them a little bit more space to see if they're going to like walk it back or double down to 100. And then I'll know what I'm dealing with. I've got to say,
you're like one of the most generous people I know with strangers. That's incredible. That's why when we would go to like conventions and stuff, people would approach you. Like people would come up to you and they would just stick around you. You were this sun and there was this orbit of weirdos.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. So I gave her room to speak, and she talked about the Holocaust and human experimentation being bad, and we agreed with that, and she kept going. She's like, and it's happening now. You know it's happening now. Look into it. And I was like, I don't understand. And she pointed to me, and she said, now, you're you. And she pointed to Shay, and she said to Shay, and you're you.
Uh-oh.
And then she said, but you would never switch, right? What do you think that means?
Oh, body switching.
Okay.
This is so exciting.
I did not think it was... We still don't have complete confirmation, but in my brain, I thought, oh, this is someone who has... This is about gender-affirming care. This is someone who has mainlined Fox News or some alternative string of fringe conspiracy nonsense that conflates gender-affirming care with human experimentation.
Not a brain swap.
Which is like a million miles away from true. Gender-affirming care, for our listeners, is a necessary and human and beneficial and progressive, pick one word. It's good, and I'm for it, and it's safe, and it's... Fox News is not to be believed, but that's where what I assumed she was talking about. And because her question is, I'm a male presenting and Shay is woman presenting, and she is saying, but you would never switch. And once I assumed that this is where she was going, I said, not us personally, but I think the difference in this case is that no one, as far as I know, is forcing us to. If someone was forcing people to switch, then yes, I agree that would be bad, but I don't actually think that's happening. And that's what I'm saying to her, because my thing is, how do I end this conversation?
Is fucking Shay helping you at all here? Well, like, we'll what, how you're getting thrown under the bus?
Yeah, I want to end this conversation and make sure this woman doesn't follow us down the mountain screaming at us. Like, I'm tamping down my actual thoughts. I'm completely comfortable discussing the importance of gender-affirming care and debunking myths about it, but not with a lunatic.
Right.
And I don't want to. And I don't want to be on the news because this woman is like scratching us. We have so much more mountain to get down. And if I, like, genuinely stood my ground and tried to quote science on it, then this could like turn into a whole big screaming fight. So I'm just trying to like shut the conversation down and not make an argument out of it. And to your question, Shay, meanwhile, is like a master at disengagement. So while I'm trying to find the path of least resistance, she is not looking up from her phone and just saying, I don't know what you're talking about. And I think the combination of my worthlessness and her refusal to engage was enough to send this woman on her way. But the woman was just like, human experimentation is still happening. We should figure out what we should do with the people who are doing the human experimentation. Look into it. Go out and read about it. Good day. And then she left and we never saw her again.
Okay. When you first encountered her, do you know what the offense was that you committed?
No. But I will, so it sucks that she's absorbed a, like, fundamentally incorrect view of the world, and I don't know if she's reachable. But to that point, very selfishly, I was like, oh, that's why she beelined for me in the middle of the courtyard. It wasn't because I did something wrong. It's because she's crazy. She's like a crazy person. Yeah. And if I had to guess, I would say she was testing the waters to see who at Griffith Park is too polite to not tell me to fuck off when I say something insane. And it's this asshole in head-to-toe Lululemon who... apologize when I got in his face. This guy will listen to whatever nonsense I want to throw at him.
I mean, she knows her audience. She knew. That's on her part, like, great job picking that guy out.
Yeah, she's just wandering around the observatory and sniffing people to see who will politely listen to her nonsense.
Just like, a shark bumping people with its nose.
You found him. You found the guy. It's this never would have happened if Shay was standing next to me at the time, but you caught me.
And are you now confident that it was a gender affirming thing? That it was like this was a person who was against the trans community?
I mean, I have we'll never know the truth. I have no additional information to go on. That's why I was hoping to bring it to you, because Shay didn't pick up on that vibe. And anytime I've mentioned this to other people, they didn't have the same like jolt of realization that I did at the moment that I had it. So when you said body switching.
Yeah. I thought it was like a Get Out situation.
Yeah. Which, if that was like, if a stranger, if a middle-aged stranger stopped me in nature and was like, would you guys ever do a Freaky Friday? I would love that. I wish that's what was happening.
Yeah.
But I don't think I don't think a Freaky Friday conversation starts with, how do you feel about the Holocaust?
No, you're right. God damn it. I think you're probably right about what it is. The real only reason I went there was because I was, as soon as I started to understand that this woman was crazy, that she had approached you once and then like ambushed you on the trail from some bushes. This is somebody who's like dealing with something much, much bigger that I will never understand. So the minute she started talking about the Holocaust and like, would you guys ever switch? I was like, my brain was like, there is no reason here. There's no logic. Yeah. This could be this is a Freaky Friday thing she's talking about.
Yeah.
This is, would you guys be willing to switch brains?
Yeah. I mean, I've had a lot of fun thinking about this woman for the last couple of weeks. I mean, first of all, this reveals a terrible bias that I have, where I'm in Los Angeles, it's a Sunday morning, and I'm choosing to hike to an observatory. I'm assuming everyone else who is doing the same thing. Here's my horrible liberal biases. I think making the decision to wake up early on a Sunday and hike is a good and healthy thing. I think it's a healthy thing, and I equate healthy with good. And I think I guess I also equate healthy and good with liberal progressive ideas.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm pretty safe on this mountain that I'm not going to see Let's Go Brandon t-shirts or anything like that, which is a bias of mine.
Yeah, I think
like,
you're right.
Like public spaces, hiking is not the purview of progressives or the left or anything like that. But I'm out in my Lululemon and I see other hikers in like their stupid overpriced hiking nature attire. And I'm like, we all like the same things. Look at us.
You're in Southern California. You're doing an outdoor oriented thing that doesn't involve ATVs or hunting. Like,
correct.
I think you're within your purview here. Like I think you're absolutely right that that's the type of people you're going to run into.
Yeah. The other fun that I've been like mentally having with this woman for the last couple of weeks is just, I'm trying to think, I have to assume that she's tried this before with people and it didn't work. That she just went right up to someone and was like, what do you think about human experimentation that they're doing right now? And like, wasn't getting enough mileage out of that. So she had to workshop it and settled on like, I'm coming in too hot, too fast. Let's start with an easy one. What do you think of the Holocaust? That's going to get my foot in the door. And then then once we're all on the same page, then I will transition to the meat that I really want to talk about.
You're probably right. I mean, you think about the people in front of grocery stores with the clipboards, like they don't start with they know that they can get you with a question that's like, hey, would you like to end child hunger?
Yeah.
Then you got to be like, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to say no. And I'm not going to let you believe no, even though you're a stranger, if I just walk away.
Right.
So yes, I would.
And I can't say I did and end the conversation. You won't buy that.
Yeah. Hey, you don't like the Holocaust, do you? No.
No. I was against it. I still am.
I love Shay's reaction.
Yeah.
Shay was not going to give her the time of day at all.
No. She already wanted to fight this woman.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's I wish I had the guts, because that is like a devastating thing to say to a stranger who is telling you something they think is important.
Yeah.
If they just like someone just gives a speech and then I just go, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about. It just deflates the entire situation.
Tough
so
to
effectively
come back from that. And then how did this end? Did you guys just keep walking and was she talking after you, or was that just like the end of the conversation?
That was the end of the conversation. And like the way the mountain goes is there's like switchbacks and there's like curves. So she will like round the, for lack of a better word, cause I understand it's a mountain, round the corner and moving quickly. And we never even saw her again for the rest of this hike. Like, we're all going in the same direction and she moved quickly, rounded a corner, and then disappeared.
Wow. Is it possible that she died 10 years ago?
Certainly. 100,000% possible.
She's been haunting this mountain. Or died like in 1964 or something like that. When, like, this would have been more hot button. And now she's like really still concerned about it, this ghost.
Yeah.
And that's her unfinished business, is making sure that you know that there's still some Nazis down in South America.
Yeah. Then I should have told her, is like, oh, you hadn't heard. No, we took care of that. I mean, there are still Nazis in America today, but they're not like
some worse ones, actually.
Yeah.
I wonder what she was. I guess that maybe that would have also been my answer, is that when she said that, what would you say if that, like, what do we do about the people who are doing that? And I would have said, do you mean Nazis?
Right.
Because we're trying to do something about that.
I also wonder if, and this is again liberal bias coming through, if your job, if you genuinely think in good faith that people are forcing some kind of gender surgery on people who don't want it in this country, and you are trying to alert people and recruit them to your side, I don't know that you pick a Sunday morning hike in Los Angeles. Just, that was also going through my head as I'm walking down this mountain and looking at the other people who are out today. And you can identify where someone is politically often by the clothes that they're wearing, whether it's like explicitly graphics on a t-shirt or just like the style and the wear of clothes. Then I'm just thinking, she doesn't have, I don't think there's anyone that's going to be receptive to her ideas here. I don't know why she thought anyone would be.
To come in angry, like to go on a hike angry, like to go out and experience the world to be like, and now I got to go find some people on this trail and pick them off and make sure that they know that this isn't right.
Yeah.
Like it's just every bit of it is so head first wild that I'm really having a hard time getting a picture of this woman in my brain. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you dealt with that, Dan.
That's okay. It was a while ago I think there are several worse ways it could have gone.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it didn't go any of those ways. There's a part of me that will always, I think about you in moments like this. You and I were walking down the street when we worked together one time. We were going to lunch and there was a woman some yards ahead of us and some guy in a truck drove by and like honked and catcalled at her. And I'm sure I made a face, but I was also like very in my head. I was like, oh, that's a bad thing that happened. And you yelled at the guy. You were like, you can't do that anymore or whatever. Like, I don't know if you said you can't do that anymore.
We don't do that anymore.
We're not allowed. Listen, you're right, but you can't. No, you said something to try to put him in his place. And he got mad and like drove around the block to yell at you some more. And you were yelling back. It didn't like turn into a physical confrontation, but you were just like trying to let him know loudly and publicly, that's not a thing. That's not cool to do. You can't catcall women. You can't honk your horn at them. And he drove off, having not changed, but I'm sure you slept better than I did that night. And that's the kind of thing that I think about where I'm so driven to end awkward conversations. And also, even if I'm dealing with someone who in my heart and bones and guts, I feel like this person is misinformed and wrong and bad, I'm still like, well, I would like to exit this conversation maximizing the amount of people who aren't upset. So like, even if I disagree with this person, the thing that overrides my brain is I got to make sure everyone's having a good time. And so
that's a
thing that will stop me from talking about things that I actually believe in and care about. And I don't know if my innate need to be a people pleaser is the wrong thing to do in a situation like that, because like certainly I could talk to anyone any day of the week about trans rights. Me and some co-writers wrote an entire fucking episode about it last season for Last Week Tonight. We're in this world and we know it. And I would be happy to debate someone on it. But I didn't in this moment because I was still just thinking like, I don't want this to turn into a fight. I don't want to, I don't want anyone to think I'm an asshole, which is also a huge part of it. But I don't know. I don't know. These opportunities where you can like stand up for a thing and try to reach a stranger who's wrong, they happen a lot, and I'm almost always choosing path of least resistance, and that could be a problem. I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like those are I think those are different circumstances. This is, you're dealing with someone who is like probably crazy here.
Yeah.
And so like getting out of that situation is the best thing for you. Like, it's like you don't want to escalate it. You don't want to do things that are going to escalate anything with this woman, because you don't know what her deal is. And then also, I think that you're not going to convince this person who got up early to go to the Getty to tell people that the Holocaust was bad and that people are still swapping brains. Like, you're not going to convince her of anything. So like, yeah, I think that's
certainly a part of it. Like, my instinct is like, I'm not going to win this by saying, aha, but madam, perhaps you didn't see this Atlantic article that I read, because she has already found her news and believes it.
Right. She's not there to be convinced of anything. She's there to proselytize.
Yeah.
And it was different in the other circumstance. It was a guy who was catcalling woman because that's what he'd always done and what he'd seen his dad do and like what he'd seen other guys do. And he needed some people in his life to say, like, he needed now to see other people in his life who are saying, hey, don't be an asshole. We don't do that.
Yeah.
And so here's maybe one, maybe he'll get another one. And then eventually he'll be like, oh fuck, maybe we don't do that. but she's not going to change. I think that it's just different circumstances. I don't think I would have engaged this woman either. I would have tried to have moved on as quickly as possible.
Yeah. Maybe in another life, I'd be like, that's a really good point. Counterpoint. And then I just take out my phone and load up a 33-minute Last Week Tonight episode about trans rights. And I'm like, just while I got you here. I mean, he articulates it better than I could. But there's jokes and clips. Like, you won't be bored. Just hang out and watch this.
Watch your show, and then be like, did you like that joke?
Yeah.
Because I didn't see a smile or anything, but like, that's a pretty good joke. You got to admit, that was mine. all right. Well, I think we can end our show here.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. This has been Quick Question, but you know that. You can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren_LTD, on Twitter. You can follow our show at QQ_Soren and Dan. The show does not have a Blue Sky account yet, but Daniel and I do, and we're very easy to find on there. I think Dan, are you just Daniel O'Brien on there?
Yeah, probably. Do you think we'll ever say you could find us on X?
A fucking X. No,
I completely forgot that.
I had a real moment where, because I'm terminally online, I think.
Yeah.
And then my wife was like looking through her phone the other day, and she was looking for something else, but she goes, what is X? And I was like, oh, you poor thing. You poor, precious little fawn in the wild. Like, you have no idea what happened.
Yeah. It's, it's, there's no point in getting into it, but Twitter sucks so bad. It's been so bad for so long. And then like, when it made the change from Twitter to X, even that was like, this is the kind of thing a few years ago that we would all have a lot of fun with. We would just like do silly jokes about it, and I tried to do a few, but that's just not the flavor of Twitter anymore. It's like, no, we're only dunking on Elon Musk, and we're doing it self-righteously. It's like, okay, but it's funny. It's X is, we could like, let's just brainstorm for a while. We could talk about like how X the letter sounds like X, how you would refer to an ex-girlfriend, and like think of the misunderstandings that could happen in a spoken conversation. Just like riff with me, Twitter. Let's we used to do this thing all the time.
Yeah. I think we'll have to agree, Dan, that there are bad people on both sides. Very bad people on both sides. Yeah, it sucks. It sucks hard. And it's amazing that X or Twitter continues to find new and surprising directions in which to suck every single day. Okay. So you can email us at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at qq_with_soren_and_daniel. Okay. So we'll... Big thanks to our sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder. We also have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/quickquestion. You can watch some of our episodes on YouTube. You can find those at youtube.com/@QQpodcast. And if you liked our theme song, you can find more music from them. That's Me Rex. You can find that anywhere you stream, but you can also find their albums at merex.bandcamp.com.
Hey, man, great chatting with you.
It's really good to talk to you, Dan.
Yeah. See you next week.
All right, bye.
I've got a quick question for you, all right? I want to hear your thoughts, I want to know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, all right? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
When will I be remembered?
What did I do?
And comedy writers, if there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.